Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, the Spirit of God said, I'm going to get there. Spirit of God said me about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, before this song came out that our sister led us in today about His presence. The Lord said this to me 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. He said, I desire my children to be coherent to my presence in their lives. Coherent. Knowing He's there. Amen. Knowing He's in you. Amen. Being able to hear Him. Amen. Being able to hear His voice. Brothers and sisters, we're living in such a time that we need to know and hear His voice. Amen. He's exhorting us to do so. Amen. I'm going to endeavor to go somewhere. And I'm going to ask you this question to start with. How is your house? How is your house? If you would, if you got your Bibles, go to Matthew 7. We'll start at the 24th verse. Matthew 7. In going there, I'll remind you what Paul said to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 3:16. The Amplified Translation says that, don't you know and understand you, the whole church at Corinth, are His sanctuary, His dwelling place, His temple, and that He dwells in you collectively as a church, but also individually, right? Amen. Let's just take it from a while ago. What we sensed a while ago was the corporate anointing of God. Are you with me on that? You know, we quote Hebrews 10:25 a whole lot. It says, "Don't not to forsake the assembly of the brethren as the habit of some, but even the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching." But two verses above that, it talks about we need to bring what we have into that house. That's the whole purpose of us assembling together, that we can contribute to one another. Amen? Amen. Before I read Matthew 7, it's going to be out in the Amplified. 7:24 is where I'm going to go to start with. I want to read something I wrote down last night, just pondering all week long, pondering where we're going, Lord, where we're going. Because truthfully, brothers and sisters, when we go where He wants us to go, it's so much better, is it not? Yeah. Amen. Again, I'll remind you of something I stand on a lot. Moses, when he wanted to see the Lord said, I'm going to show you the backside of Him. And Moses said, Lord, if you don't go with us, we don't want to go. For what is it, Lord, that distinguishes us from all the other people on the face of the earth? Is it not Your presence going with us? Amen. I need the presence of God. I thank God for His presence. I thank God for the collective presence. But I just quoted you 1 Corinthians 3:16. You are individually the temple of God. He's here inside of us individually. I've been there, brothers and sisters, when there wasn't nobody around but me and the Lord. And I had to call on Him. I've been there when I thought I wasn't going to make it and there wasn't nobody around but me and Him. But I called on Him. But He rose up in me, gave illumination to my mind, direction to my spirit, and strength to my body. Glory to God. Hadn't that happened to you? Amen. So we need to cultivate our house. Amen. Let me read you something. 24th verse, Matthew 7, Amplified. So everyone who hears these words of mine, let me stop there for a minute. Right before Jesus started here, Jesus started talking about false prophets. He started talking about junk that would be happening. And then He comes on down here and He says, So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, sounds like this morning, Rebecca. Obeying them, not just hearing it, but doing it. Obeying them will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it was founded on the rock. Verse 26. This is a warning. And everyone who hears these words of mine, does not do them, will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it. Amen. That's enough right there. That's enough right there to say, I don't want my house falling. Okay, so let's do the verse above. Let's do what it says to do. Let's hear His word. Let's obey His word. Let's be diligent about His word. Amen? Amen. We got to have it that way, brothers and sisters. Now I'm going to read you something. Is your house, which is your life in Christ, your witness, your ability to walk in victory over any challenge that may come your way, is it secure on the rock? This is my notes, so I'm going to read from them. Pastor for 7 Sundays has been exhorting us to recognize our position in Christ, our priesthood, our seating in Christ, above our adversaries. Sunday school in this house has been teaching us our authority as believers. Last Sunday in this house, there she is back there, our sister taught us about what? About our fitting in this body in the position God called us to fit in this body and not thinking ourselves higher than the next. Amen? But understanding we all got a part to play. That was a good word. I heard it. Amen? How many of you remember that word? Chew that word. Let me say this, brothers and sisters. Rebecca quoted Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart before you. You keep it before your eyes and in your mouth. And you meditate on it night and day. Then you'll, as one translation says, you'll deal wisely in the affairs of life. You'll have good success. Listen, brothers and sisters, we have to ponder, which is meditate, the Word of God. We have to chew it over. We have to mutter it. We have to think on it. The devil will take you, if he can, before you go out that door and cause you to forget that word. It's up to you to be the... You're going to be one of those four grounds in Mark 4. You're either going to be just plain old hard ground. You're either going to be rocky ground. You're either going to be weeded ground. Or you're going to be good ground. You're going to be one of those four. My mentor, I've been listening to some teaching that he's been doing on continuing the Word. And he made a statement. He said, pastors, don't get mad about it. Don't get ill with me. But let's be real about it. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is addressing the leadership, speaking to the church. He said, pastors, you're going to have all four of that ground in your house. He says, so the truth of the matter, one-fourth of your congregation is going to walk in full good ground. So our goal should be all of us walk in the fullness of that. Huh? We get the word here, brothers and sisters. I know why I'm here. I'm getting the word. I know I'm here getting the word. That's why I'm here. I done been there. I done been there. I done been there. And I know I'm getting the word. That's why I sit in this house. Getting back to my first point, because without His presence and me knowing His presence in the word, I'm a loser. And you are too. Amen. We have to have victory. So going back, for pastors being exhorting us, you have been teaching us our place in Christ, our priesthood, the fact that we've been seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. We're seated in the heavenlies. You know, you need, that's the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus there in the first chapter, he goes there, but go to the second chapter, the 8th verse, he said, you're seated together with Him, far above the devil and his input in your life. In other words, that's paraphrasing it. You are seated with Christ. To have a house, you need to know where you sit in Christ. to have a house that can take care of your life when the storms come. Amen. To have a house that stands, you got to know your authority, what we've been hearing on Sunday morning. To have a house that stands, you need to do like my sister said last week. You need to find your place and fit. And don't get wiped out about somebody else thinking they doing something you ain't doing or you should be doing something they doing. That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing but bad, bad soil popping up in your garden. Amen. 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 Going. So here I am. I read it over in Matthew. Again, let me go to this. Let's go to this verse. Are we obeying the words? Are we being sensible and prudent? Are we being practical and wise in what we hear? Rebecca said this morning in Sunday school, you don't just hear it, you do it. Did y'all hear that, those that were here? You do it. Okay, she talked about over in James where it said, we look into that perfect law of liberty. That's that mirror. The Bible says that we're to be continually looking in that law of liberty, that mirror. That mirror tells us like how we really are. That mirror also tells us how we need to be. Now, I ain't as pampery as my pretty little wife, but, you know, I try to help this old ugly guy a little bit. But here's the deal. In the Word of God, I behold myself. And I have to get dialed in to what He says about me to walk into victory thereof. Amen? Are you with me on that? Amen. Now, adding to that. See, you know, the Bible talks about in Corinthians about an interpreter. An interpreter can be in a service and he can kind of see where things are going. Well, in the service, says plural, of late, I hear the Lord talking. He's telling us to be in our place. He's telling us to walk in our authority. Then on Wednesday nights, He's been telling us what Jude said. Jude said in the last days, things would creep into church. Things that ain't right. Things that ain't good. He's telling us in Jude, Jesus' half-brother, one chapter, Jude. And the pastor hit this Wednesday night. You know the 20th verse says, but ye beloved, build up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. Now, brothers and sisters, I could talk 2 hours on them two verses, but for the sake of time, we're going to hit it a lick. Praying in the Holy Ghost. We need the Word of God. I got verses on my phone I was going to read off. Joshua 1:8, 8:32 of John, you know, Proverbs 4. How important it is for me and you to feed on the Word of God. Let the Word of God be ours. But it's also important for you and I to pray. And it's also important for you and I who know how and have received a baptism to pray in the Holy Ghost. Listen, brothers and sisters, this morning, 3:30, I woke up and I'm laying in bed wide awake. And I'm saying, Lord, I need to go back to sleep, you know. And I'm laying there and all of a sudden it dawned on me. And I got my little iPhone and I said, I bet I can find it, Lord. And I got my phone and what it was, the Spirit of God brought it back to me. Annette Capps was with Bob Gandian on Ministers Club. And Annette Capps had made a statement. And I kept saying, exactly what did she say, Lord? And so I went and I found it. And at 3, by then it's 3:45, I sat there and watched it. And here's something she said, but the Holy Spirit brought it back to me. She says, when you're praying in other tongues, you're watering the anointing on your life. You are watering that anointing. And Brother Yandy was talking to her, and she was saying, when I got a minister, I do a whole lot of praying in other tongues. The more I pray in other tongues, the more I pull it out. And she said this, there's a verse that's in Proverbs. There's a verse that says this, 5:20, I believe. It says that there's in the well is a bunch of wisdom. And we're to pull that out. Yeah. You know who lives in us, right? Yeah. The Holy Spirit. Huh? Well, remember what Paul said to the church at Ephesus in writing to them about what to pray in the first chapter? One of the points was, he said that you will know the riches of the inheritance that's in us. And by praying in other tongues, brothers and sisters, I'm pulling out the wisdom of God. I'm pulling out the ability of God. I'm watering the anointing of God, so when I speak the Word of God, the anointing's on the Word. Amen. So this morning I heard that, I went and read that thing. And then she said this. She said, we have to understand when we're praying in other tongues, our tongue is connected to our spirit. Man, when she said that, I stopped. Why? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And she said, but when we're praying with our understanding, we're up here. Here. But when we're praying in other tongues, our tongues are connected to our spirit. Amen. You agree with that? You know, 1 Corinthians 14, what is it? 14 something. It says, when I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Amen. Brother Rick Renner said the real Greek there said this. It says in the Greek, the spirit of me, my spirit prayeth. In other words, brothers and sisters, the real me is talking to my Father, the Father of spirits. The Hebrew letter said, isn't it good to be in contact with the Father and Spirit, the Father of spirits, and live? There's a verse that says that. When I'm praying in the Holy Ghost and other tongues, I'm speaking directly to my Father through my spirit. And I hope everyone understands 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says we're spirit, soul, and body. With our spirit, we contact the spiritual realm. With our minds, we contact the intellectual realm. And with our body, of course, we contact this realm. But God wants us to learn to flow and pray with Him in the Holy Ghost. I said something to my brother this morning. I was walking through the house, and the Holy Spirit inside me said something to me. He said, you know, my son, there have been many great ministers that's come and gone, and I would name one, but I won't. Everybody knows him, come on TV all the time. But here's what the Lord said. He said, son, if he'd have entered into Pentecost and he would have spent time praying in other tongues, his ministry would have been greater than it is and was. Now, that don't go over good with some of y'all and some people, but it's the truth. See, God ain't a respected person with this stuff. God didn't want these folks not to have it and these folks to have it. I'm talking about the baptism in the Holy Ghost right now, specifically. Amen. And I'm over here praying this morning, and the Lord says something else to me. Now, you think about it. He said, a denomination is a move of God that stopped moving, not going forward. Study history. Anabaptists started the Baptist movement, understanding being baptized in the Christ. It's a denomination is a move of God that stops going. It stops moving forward. Hey, old Pentecostals is a move of God that stopped going. Why do you say that, Brother Tony? Because if you go to some old school Pentecostals and you say, I can get down and pray in the Spirit, they think you entertaining a devil. Let's be real about it. I know, I grew up in it. My mama experienced a baptism in the Holy Spirit with evidence speaking in other tongues. On occasion in church, my mama would pray in other tongues as God moved like He did this morning in His house. But to say to my mama, mama, you know you can go in your prayer closet, and you can get down, and you can just pray and ask God to give you utterance as you pray. I said, mama, the word helpeth, where it says in Romans 8, helpeth me along together with against you, along with the Holy Spirit, prays against your weaknesses. You do the praying, mama. He gives the utterance. Now, you say that to some of those old school people, they say, you got a devil. Let's get real. What am I saying to say all this? When Jude said, but you, beloved, build up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, he was talking about Chandrele, Kosile, Vandadele, praying in tongues. Now, I understand God will give you inspiration to pray in your understanding. I experienced that a good bit at times. I'll open my mouth and begin to pray, and things will come out by the spirit of prophecy when I'm praying, and it's God. And it's in my understanding. But I also know that my best way of communing with my Father, like my mentor, Dad Hagin, said, he had wonderful experiences with God in the top of that old barn. But he said, I always left lacking. He said, but one day I experienced Pentecost, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, from that day to this, I don't go away feeling cheated in my prayer life. I believe that. I know it works. I can give you testimony after testimony of praying in the Spirit, hearing the Lord. I'm telling you, but God's telling us, God's telling us, he says, you're in the day that Jude was talking about. But you build up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pastors told us from this pulpit, we need to be praying in tongues as like we've never done before. We need to be doing it. Now here's where I am about all that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, when that invitation is given up here for you to get filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to come on up and get it. And if you've experienced the baptism, you need to pray that way every day, all the time. Listen to let me just give you some benefits. I won't go in here, but I'm here. Let me just give you some benefits. When I speak in another tongue, I speak mysteries. One translation says divine secrets. I understand and I know that I'm praying out things ahead of time. I know I'm reaching out and praying out things. I know when I pray in other tongues, I edify my inner man. I know that. The Word says, he speaking in other tongues, edifies himself. I know I do that. I know I do that. I know when I pray in other tongues, I'm praying against my weaknesses. Did I know not how to pray as I ought? Romans 8, 26 through 28. I know that. I pray that way. I know that. Let me say this to you, and I'm just not bragging on me, but I'm going to tell you a couple maybe. I had a mentor say this one time, my experience is not at the mercy of your argument. In other words, if I've experienced it, you can argue with me all day. You can walk out of here and say, I don't believe that. But my experience is not at the mercy of your argument. The most profound, godly interventions and knowing in my life have taken place when and after or during I was praying in other tongues. Did you hear what I said? Nathaniel Berry, his name on his birth certificate is Ishmael Nathaniel Berry. Ishmael means God will hear. Nathaniel means gift from God. So God heard us and we got a gift when they said he would die. My wife got those names. How? Cordia said it. Praying when the doctors told her she needed to stay out at 5.5 months because her water sac broke. Praying all day long. Praying in other tongues. Praying. Asked me who Ishmael was. Next day asked me who Nathaniel was. I'm thinking she's gone loony. Go back to working on the inside spirit of God. I said, you need to look those words. I'm talking to you. So I go home and study up that stuff. Come home another day. I heard the Spirit of God say, she said to me, honey, while I've been praying, the Lord said there's a house on Cook Street. I thought she was praying too much. I'm being honest. Found out later that we missed a house on Cook Street. Missed a house. I could go on and on and on and on. Praying in other tongues at a guy's church that had a little church in Dunbar, walking the aisles of that church on a Wednesday morning at his church. I was on vacation. I go to his church. I say, Bobby, can I walk and pray in your church? Oh, yeah, walk and pray. I'm walking and praying in other tongues. As I do, I have a vision. I see a young couple who's going to our church where I was at. Young couple in the Lord at the church. I see her. I see me and Sissy go there. I see us pull up in the yard. My wife says, there's nobody home. I see all this in the vision. I say, yeah, somebody's here. I see in the vision, the door opens and there stands Ma, the girl's Ma. We called her Ma Sweat. Ma standing there with a certain color, with these old-fashioned nightgown deals on. And in the vision, I'm seeing me go, Ma, we come to see Sammy and Lisa, but we come to see you too. And here's what the Lord said. I saw all that morning, walking and praying in other tongues. That night, my little wife got off work from Sarah Lee Haynes that night, and we were going. I said, Sissy, I said, we need to go to Hartsville to see Lisa and Sammy. So we get in the car, and we go to Lisa and Sammy's house. Guess what? I don't think I've been there, but one time when I pulled in the yard, it looked just like it did in the vision I had while I was praying in other tongues. They want a car in the yard. And my wife said, just like she said in the vision, she said, there ain't nobody at home. And I said, yes, there's somebody here. And we go to the door, and I ring the doorbell, and the door opens. Instead of Lisa or Sammy coming to the door, it's Ma, and she's dressed in that same gown. I saw that morning while I was praying in other tongues, and I said, Ma, you're talking about your faith getting strong when you've gone this far. I said, Ma, I said, we come to see Sammy and Lisa, but bless God, we come to see you too. And I went on to tell her what the Lord said in the vision. I said, they said you got asbestosis and you don't have many years to live. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God saying tonight we're going to pray and God's going to add days to your life like he did the king of old. And we laid hands on her and we prayed for her, and she lived 15 more years from that. Amen. Then she comes in my store during a Saturday or a Thursday. I don't know what it was. Goes down my aisle. Walks over there to the Krispy Kreme table. Ma, this is 10, 15 years ago later. And Ma says, I've been to the doctor, but I'm doing good, brother. She walks around the corner of the aisle. Look at her. And I hear the Spirit of God say, I'm getting ready to bring her on home. I gave her those years. And she went home. Praise God. Amen. So don't you tell me this tongue stuff is not good. Don't you tell me praying in other tongues ain't for you. Don't you tell me you don't need to be praying in other tongues. Don't do it. My experience is not at the mercy of you arguing that with me. I know it works. I know it works. I'll bring it to, when was it? I don't know. Won't long. When you sent me, Father's Day. Father's Day, I'm walking over here praying. I walk and pray. I don't do it to be seen, by the way. Get that out your head if the devil's stuck there. I don't walk to get. I walk and pray. Just like I'm walking now, I like to walk and pray. I'm walking and praying over here in the corner. Amen. And all of a sudden, Cedric come up in my spirit. And the Lord has spoke to me about Cedric. And I won't go into detail what he told me, but the Lord said something to me about Cedric. I walk over there to get my phone, and there Cedric is, Happy Father's Day. And we ain't communicated in months, have we? He sent me that. And so he sent me that. I could read you the text. I got over there in the corner. I said, well, since you did this, I text him what the Lord said. And it was good. It was God. It was right on at the right time. So don't argue with me. Don't fight me. Look, let me give you something in the natural. I got to look at my car. Let me give you something in the natural. Is that right? I got that much time. I got, yeah. Hey, let me give you something in the natural. I got a 1969 454 bored out 468 SS 4-speed Chevelle. It's got a double pumper Holley carburetor and a single plane high intake on it. Me and you can go to the drag strip. You pull up there in your little car. Bring your little car. Bring your two-barrel car. Just come on up there. Let's go to the line. Now, I'm good from the eight to the quarter, but after that, I have to let off of it because it's got a good gear in it. I don't want to blow it up. But listen, I'll blow you down out. I'll beat you. I'll beat you. The same thing about the baptism. Yes, sir. Amen. Listen to me. Yes, sir. You choose not to enter into Pentecost. You choose not to be in Pentecost, not exercise your ability to have communion with God in other tongues. That's you. But as for me, and my wife and my children. After one he laid hands on the other one, hey, we going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Huh? I done been there. I done been there. I went Sissy Hemrist, 1983. We were at Maranatha. She started hemorrhaging in the chair. Pastor Allen said, Brother Tony, I'm taking an offering up there. Yeah. He said, give us a word. No, he said, testimony. I said, and hear me say what I said, because it fits good today. I said, I thank God I came back to the Lord at such a time as this to see the glory of the Lord fill His church. Yeah. I said that. Over there in the back, they were squirming. My sweet little wife, they had folding chairs in that church back. Little old folding. My wife's groaning. She started hemorrhaging. I'm standing up there like this here. My wife back there, Deborah, who was a nurse, John's wife, was there. Deborah's over there. She looks at Janet, what's her name? She's a nurse. She said, she's lost the baby. That's what she said. I read her lips. I said, What did you do, Brother Tony? We got my little wife. We put her in the car. Guess what I did all the way to Darlington to the gynecologist she was seeing? Monday course. Well, guess what I did when the doctor said she was going to lose the baby during the night? I walked in the hall. Glorious. Monday. Huh? Next morning he comes here. He said, well, you know, she might carry that baby. Okay. That was when she hemorrhaged. 5.5 months, her water sat, brother. That's when she stayed home and prayed all the time. I can tell you, my wife prayed a lot in other tongues, and she was hearing the Lord. So I know you can't, I love you. If you don't want it, that's you. But this stuff works. But my wife's telling me stuff. But here's the thing. She got boys' names. They would not do an ultrasound on Sissy, because they thought it was helpless, useless. We had boys' name, no girls' name. On a Thursday night, I went to teach a Bible study in Bennettsville at Carolyn and Chuck's house. And I told that group, my wife was 7 months, I told that group, I said, I got a witness in my spirit. I've been praying. I said, my wife, I have our son. She had our son that next morning. Everything was hunky-dory. I can go on. It looked real good till 3 days later. I said, let him die. He's got hydrocephalus. He's not wiped forward part of his brain. He'll walk, talk, see, or hear. He does that. You see that? But guess what? Guess what got us through that? The Word of God, faith in the Word of God, but a whole lot of Monday said, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Are you with me? Now, I'm going to couple that. You remember I just read this to you, and I was going to go read some verses about over there in Mark's gospel where it says, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. That word hear there is present linear action. It means keep on hearing. Yeah. Keep on hearing. He that have ears to hear, let him hear. Then it goes on down. It says, he that has, more will be given to him. He that has not, even that which he has will be taken away. What is the has there? The has is the fact he that has a hearing ear. Yes. See, I've read that verse many times over the years and said, what you talking about? He that has a hearing ear, let him keep on hearing. More is going to be given to him. He that has not a ear that keeps hearing, even what he has will be taken from him. Do you understand that principle? That thing burned in my spirit about almost a year ago now, that verse, I heard Brother Yannian teaching on that thing, and I went back and I studied it. I said, that man is right. You don't know what I did. I walked around for days going, it's so important to keep hearing. Because if you don't keep hearing, you can lose what you've already been blessed with. Amen. Did you hear what I said? You can lose the blessings you got. And then religious people will get involved and say, well, I guess God didn't want me to have it. No. God's always wanted you to prosper. Amen. God's always wanted you to be healthy. God's always wanted your needs met. God's always wanted you to be above and not beneath. God's always wanted you to have those things. But see, religion has crept into church, and you got all these people walking around with head knowledge, and it don't work for them, and they don't get it, and they go, well, I guess the Lord didn't want me to have it. That's religion. Pastor of our first church taught me and Kenneth, and you were there too, many years ago. He said, if I don't get what God has for me, don't blame God. He said, it's on my account. I didn't know what he's saying, but I learned to understand that. And I see so many religious people, they'll go about saying, I'm going through this thing, so God will teach me. God probably didn't want you going through it to start with. But you didn't walk in intimate fellowship with Him to start with. And you didn't have the Word in your heart. There it is right there. If you ain't doing and getting that Word, the storms are going to destroy your house. It's going to destroy your house. Now I'm getting ready to stop, I think. So here you go. I want to talk to you about something. I wrote this down. I believe we're at a time we must have an understanding of the times and to know what we should do, just as the men of the tribe of Issachar did. 1 Chronicles 12:32. Who was Issachar? Issachar was Leah's son for Jacob, one of his wives. The sons of Issachar were able to tell where they were and what they needed to do. Okay? Brothers and sisters, we've been shown in the Word that as we get closer to the end of days, it ain't going to be pleasant out there. It's not going to be pleasant out there. Paul said that there would be perilous times, hard to deal with, hard to bear. I'll go on and read what it is. I believe we're at a time we must have an understanding of the times and know what we should do, just as the son of Issachar. Under our dispensation, we have the one who will show us things to come and will tell us what we need to do. John 16:7-13. Amen. You remember what Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit? He said He'd show you things to come, didn't He? Huh? He said He would lead you and guide you, didn't He? You know, Jesus, in writing that in the Greek, Jesus said, you know, it's good I leave you because I'm going to send you somebody that wants to be real close to you. Well, He lives in our spirit if we're born again, right? You know, when we say we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are the church because He lives in our spirit, which lives in our body. He's residing in my spirit, man. And I can listen and learn of Him. And I can be, as I said in the beginning, that song my sister led us in, the Lord said to me 7-8 years ago, He said, I want my children to learn to be coherent to my spirit. Brothers and sisters, that'll get you out of a lot of trouble. You say, He'll show you things to come. Yeah, I'll give you another testimony. Before the recession or whatever you want to call it, In 2007, 2009, through that series of time, I was laying in bed and woke up in the middle of the morning, just sat straight up in the bed, and I said, Hoover days. And I had to go call my mom. My mom was old, you know, she's in heaven now. I called mom, I said, Mama, what were Hoover days? She said, those were pretty traumatic economic times. I said, we're getting ready to have something like Hoover days. We had that junk that went on through 2007 through 9. You remember all that? Remember that junk? That sick. But the Lord warned me about it. He did. He'll show you things to come. I told you a while ago, He showed us about we would have a boy. Amen. He'll show you things to come. And the sons of Issachar were able to recognize the time. Brothers, you need to recognize where we are. As much as I want it to get back like it was, it's not going to get back like it was. No president in office is going to make it like it was. Huh? We've been told by Jesus out of His love, because He is love, right? He said, evil men in seducers will wax worse and worse. They'll be calling good evil and evil good. Amen? The Word says that. The Word says that all the nations of the earth are going to turn against Israel. We're seeing that happen now, even in our land. We're living in those days. So what are you saying, Brother Tony? I'm saying that this house that we're to build, in essence, this is a hard word, but it's strong. It's time to start closing the shutters on the window. It's time to close the shutters on the windows. Because there's coming some stuff. It ain't going to be good. And that's the whole reason for the last couple of years in this house, the Lord's been saying, I want to put you right here. Come on. Come dwell in the secret place for me. Come. Huh? I'm telling you. I'm gonna say something from a natural standpoint. I put this on Facebook. My son showed me something yesterday, kind of blew me away. I didn't even know who this dude was. Dietrich somebody. Dietrich starts with a B. But I put this on Facebook. I said, what was the church in Germany doing when this dude named Hitler started showing off? And my son showed me something yesterday. It was on TV. What is his name? Something other. Anyway, this guy was a Lutheran leader in the church. He was a pastor. And he went about warning people. He said, you need to get in your place, and you need to be praying against this stuff that this Adolf Hitler dude is doing. You need to be praying against it. Well, you know what they did to that guy? They locked him up. You know what else they did to that guy? They hung him. But he was crying out. And he was crying out to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the land, in the nation of Germany. He said, we need to be coming against this stuff. It's wrong. Okay, well, here's what I'm saying to us. And this is a fit, and I'm going to close. I know the Lord said this to me. He said, I desire the cry of the church to muffle the cry of the sin that is in the land. Listen to what I just said. I desire that the cry of the church, that's us praying. That's us going before God. He desires our cry before Him will muffle. You know, like the muffler that keeps my car quiet? The muffle the cry of the sin that is in the land. See, the church has a cry. Israel cried. It says God heard Israel's cry in Egypt. Right? So the church has a cry. But sin has a cry. They visited Abraham, said, hey, we're going to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah and see if the cry of that sin is as great as it is. So see, we have a cry. Sin has a cry. We, the church, need to be praying like never before. Amen. That's why I know where the Lord's taking. That's why we need to be praying in the Holy Ghost. More than ever. More than ever. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit knows how to take us to pray the plan and purpose of God. Yes. Amen. Amen. So, that's going to be my close. And I pray that you put this to work. If you're, let me say this to you. And I don't mean this in a negative frame, but I mean it truthfully out of my own heart. Every time Pastor gives an invitation, so for somebody to get baptized in the Holy Spirit in this house, because he does it practically every service, I go, Lord, I hope everybody in there, since nobody comes up, I said, I hope everybody in there is baptized in the Holy Ghost. I said, Father, I pray if they are baptized in the Holy Ghost, they learn to pray and exercise their prayer language of praying in other tongues. That's my heart, because I know what it'll do for us. Amen. 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 So, I'm going to close, and I'm going to say a prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for this time. We thank you, Father, that we're being instructed to know where we're seated with you.